How many of you have ever been depressed, discouraged? I know all of us get that way from time to time. And sometimes we get depressed when things don't go wrong in our life. Maybe it's sickness. Something happens and we're just down about it. Feel like there's no way out. Maybe we're unable to do physically what we once did. I know that's me. Maybe it's finances. We can't afford what we would like to afford or afford maybe what we used to afford or to do the things that we would like to do. Or maybe we've had an accident that has prevented us from being as active as we would like to be. Or maybe it's the loss of a loved one. You know, when we read John chapter 15, like we started studying it this morning, these closest to Jesus had to be going through some similar thoughts, similar feelings. Jesus had just told them in the first four verses two things. You're going to be kicked out of the synagogue. And some of you are going to be killed. And Jesus points out to them, I know your hearts are filled with sorrow, depression, discouragement. If that's what I'm going to have to go through, why should I want to continue this life? Maybe they didn't go through the same things that we're going through. But nonetheless, when we read about them being in the upper room, Jesus, the Thursday night before he was crucified, told them some words of comfort in order to prepare them for the future that lay ahead that appears to be very dark. You're going to be ostracized. You're going to be kicked out of the church, if you will, the synagogue. And you're going to be, some of you are going to be killed. I wonder what John would have thought if he had known in advance that he was going to serve prison time on the Isle of Patmos. I wonder if they had known the depths of what they would have to go through if they knew that, how really dark the days ahead would be if they would have changed their convictions. You see, the conversations that they had with Christ, or that Christ was having with them, was very important. It was extremely important for them. There were these conversations that they were having with Jesus had some permanent significance to them. It's going to be bad. But he pointed out that your sorrow will turn to joy. But Jesus had to tell them these things in order to prepare them for the dark future that they had, that lay ahead of them, that they were going to have to face. As I said, these conversations were extremely important for them. Very significant. And it was going to be permanent. How do we treasure the admonitions that Jesus gave his disciples, his closest, 12 closest friends, or 11 at this point? Judas had already departed. But Jesus is giving them admonitions to encourage them that I believe we can take. And we ought to treasure the words of Jesus as they should have. In John 14 and verse 25, Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. I'm here now and I'm telling you what you need to know. And his words seem to shine. His words seem to shine like a searchlight, like a lighthouse. That's a beacon of hope that's circling, giving people what they need, giving these 12 what they need, giving us today what we need. So as we make our way into each tomorrow that lies ahead of us, I believe we can look at what Jesus talks about here in John chapter 15 and take encouragement from it. His words are words of comfort for their future. It's going to be bad. It's going to be dark, but it's going to be so bright on the other side. I used to have people tell me, trying to encourage me, that when going through trials, they would say, well, you'll be stronger on the other side. I didn't like hearing that. You'll be better on the other side for having gone through these things. I didn't want to hear that. That didn't sound very encouraging to me. But when you think about it, isn't that what Jesus said? It's going to be dark. And you're going to have great sorrow in your life. But it's going to be so much better when you get to the other side. One of the ways that Jesus gave them comfort was talking about the Spirit. The Holy Spirit was coming and He was going to provide leadership for them. And the apostles, their work was going to require that guidance that He was going to bring. Jesus explained to them that the Father was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was sent from Him to guide them, to help them. And as I mentioned in Bible class, this is one of the greatest promises in the New Testament. Regarding the Holy Spirit, it describes briefly what the Holy Spirit was going to do. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things. He will bring to remembrance all things that I said to you." You know, I have a terrible memory at times. But when you think about what Jesus is telling them, I think it's going to be something of a miracle that they're going to have this memory. It's going to come to them like nobody's business. I'm always fascinated. I have known two preachers in my life. They could stand off to the side of the podium and they could recite a whole chapter, stop in the middle of the chapter, comment on it, pick back up, go some more verses, comment, pick back up, and recite the whole chapter and discuss to you while standing right here what if I can't do that. My memory is not that good. One of those preachers is no longer with us and one's moved out to Arizona. But here Jesus is telling them, you're not going to have that problem. The Holy Spirit is going to bring to remembrance everything that I have told you. And Jesus said this Father was sending this Helper in His name. In essence, He's coming to replace me to continue the work of the Father, to offer the plan of salvation, to offer this hope of heaven to everyone. His mission was going to be to glorify and enhance the work that Jesus had started. But He was going to assist the apostles in two very significant ways. One of those was by teaching them all things, Jesus said, through new revelation. The Holy Spirit was going to receive a message from God, and then the Holy Spirit was going to put it into the lips of the apostles as they preached. Or as they wrote letters or epistles, the Holy Spirit was going to receive a message from God, just like the qualifications for elders in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. God told the Holy Spirit to tell Paul, "This is what I want these qualifications to be." And Paul wrote them down. They were by the hand of Paul, but they were from the mind of God. And that's what the Holy Spirit was coming to do. To reveal all things, to teach them all things by new revelations. And as Jesus said, to bring to their remembrance what He had already taught them. Jesus said He's going to guide the apostles as they built upon the foundation that Jesus had already laid. So this coming of the Holy Spirit is provided for us as well. We have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, but it's through the apostles. Through the Holy Spirit giving them the scriptures that we have to read, we have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. You think about on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out from heaven upon those 12 apostles. And this baptism into the presence of the Holy Spirit empowered these apostles to reveal the will of God to the world. The text tells us that they all spoke in different tongues, different nationalities. And the people said, "How do we understand these people?" And they accused them of being drunk, remember? Peter's response was, no, we're not drunk. It's only the ninth hour of the day. It's like 6 o'clock in the morning. But they all heard what God wanted them to hear. His word, His will, His plan of salvation. And that's because the Holy Spirit revealed it to those men. And they spoke in languages that they all could understand. And the text tells us that there were about 3,000 souls added to the Lord's church that day. The impact of miraculous gifts that these apostles would have and the impact it would have upon other people and other Christians and to work miracles to confirm their messages. That's why the Holy Spirit came. And what the Holy Spirit was coming to do was to abide with them, to live with them, just as He lives with us today. He abides with us today through the written Word of God. And we live in the power and the truth of His revelation that had been provided to us in God's Word. So there's leadership from the Spirit that we have today, but there's something else that these 12 received that I believe we also receive from the Holy Spirit. And that's a calmness of peace. We all struggle with some type of discouragement from time to time or even depression from time to time. And it's because of God's Word that's been revealed through His Holy Spirit that we can come to the Word of God as the apostles did and receive a calmness. Our joy can be turned to sorrow, as Jesus pointed out in John 15. So naturally, as they look toward such dark days that were ahead of them, remember Jesus pointed out, I think in verse 3 of John 15, He says, I know your heart's filled with sorrow. Because I just told you, you're going to be kicked out of the synagogue and some of you are going to be killed because of me. And Jesus says, that's where peace was going to be found. The Holy Spirit was coming to give peace for their hearts so that their sorrow could be turned to joy. And in John 14, and verse 20, first part of verse 27, Jesus says, I will give it to you, the Spirit. This peace is stability and calmness in the presence of a world that's filled with confusion and turmoil. How many of you understand everything that's going on in the world around us? Hamas, Israel, Russia, Ukraine. How many of us understand all of that? How many of us understand what's going on in our own country? And it's discouraging. I hate to turn the news on in the morning. I like to see what the weather's going to do, and I like to catch up on local news, but even that is discouraging. But Jesus told these 12, and I believe He tells us, that there is some stability and calmness in the peace that the Holy Spirit provides. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you without granting some measure of peace to you. I'm leaving, but I'm going to send a comforter to you, the Holy Spirit. And He said this peace that He had left with them was the peace of the truth of His Word. And when you think about it, the Word of God, isn't it a peaceful message? And somebody might say, well, wasn't the whole world destroyed by a flood? But look at what the psalmist talks about in peace. The tranquility of being led as a shepherd in Psalm 23. As a sheep by the shepherd in Psalm 23. The calmness that comes from knowing that what is happening now is going to be overshadowed by the joy that's going to be on the other side. All I've got to do is remain faithful. All I've got to do is accept the peace and the guidance from God's Holy Spirit and His Word to know that it's going to be better someday. Where there's no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain. The former things have been done away with, as the book of Revelation would tell us. But Jesus offered this peace before He left. He said, I've got to go. And where I'm going, you can't come. And it's going to cause great sorrow, talking to those closest to him, it's going to cause great sorrow in your life. But know this, I'm not going to leave you helpless. I'm not going to just abandon you to fend for yourself. He says, I'm sending the Comforter. And he offered this Comforter, this peace that would be coming from the Comforter before he ever departed. He says, this is the promise. And what a great promise it is to these 12. That you're going to have peace. But also through his presence with them in the days that lay ahead. In John 14 and verse 28, the first part there, Jesus says, you have heard me say, I am going away and coming back to you. They didn't understand that. That in a little while I'll go and I'll come back. Remember the question that Jesus says, you want to ask this question. But this is what I mean. And they would soon come to know Christ as a spiritual presence of peace in their life. And later, he's going to be with them in a new way, just like we can be with him in a new way. But this peace that he was leaving was not the peace from the world. The peace from the world is not the same peace that Christ offers. What peace Christ offers is not available in the world. Now, you may have some in the world that offer peace. And the world may offer you a certain measure of freedom from harm and trouble. But it's going to be short-lived. And it cannot provide the kind of peace that is offered by God's Holy Spirit. But when the world offers this peace, it only comes when the circumstances are just right. And sometimes it doesn't come at all. But this peace that Jesus is going to bring will belong to the apostles, even in the midst of being kicked out of the synagogue, even in the midst of being killed for his name's sake. And the same peace can happen to us, can be given to us when we're discouraged, when we're depressed, when the trials of this life weigh heavy upon us. Another thing I believe that the Comforter provides is the confidence of faith. When you think about their future, it required a great amount of faith, didn't it? Jesus said, your sorrow, which will be great, you'll have lamenting and weeping and sorrow, but it's going to be turned to joy. And they had to have faith that, yeah, it really will. The same is true with us, isn't it? Don't we have to have faith that someday, based on the hope that we have, that we will be with God, that we will be with Christ? Great things were going to happen in their lives. Great things can happen in our lives, and they were beginning to happen in their lives. But the apostles, we're going to have to grasp the meaning of everything. And Jesus told them in John chapter 14, beginning in verse 28, he says, you have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. They're going to have faith. Jesus said, you're going to have faith in me. You're going to have faith in the Father. That all of these things that I've told you that are going to happen are going to happen. This faith that they have and the faith that we have is predicated or based upon the words of Christ. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? Hearing the Word of God. That's how we build our faith. That's what our faith is based upon, is the very Word of God. Jesus said, you believe in me. Believe in my Word. And this faith only comes to those who hear His word. Now, I'm going to give you a little story here. When I worked factory work, I always had to go ever so often and take a hearing test. They used to put us in the little booth and put the earphones on us. We'd have to turn our back to them, and they'd put the little faint whistle in, and you'd have to raise your hand or push a button or later on. I don't think they do it that way now because it's been so long since I've done anything like that. But I would come out and I'd say, "Oh, you passed with flying colors." And I'd say, "Well, my wife tells me I don't hear nothing." And they would jokingly say, "Well, that's what we call selective hearing." But you see, that's the way we are about the Word of God. We hear what we want to hear. And if it doesn't suit my lifestyle, if it doesn't suit my plans, then I don't hear what Jesus is telling me. Oh, you hear Him, but in essence, you just ain't listening. You're not going to listen to what Jesus tells us if it doesn't fit my narrative. It only comes to those who hear the Word. But not only that, we have to accept and act upon it with trust and love that what Jesus said is the truth. Why would we not want it to be the truth with what He's promised? But you see, the apostles had accepted the words of Christ. They had, as individuals, had accepted the very words that Jesus had spoken. And that meant that they would be able to rejoice in His departure. And it meant that they would be confident. They would be confident in His entering into another phase, or the next phase of God's great plan. He told them He was returning to the Father. He had fulfilled the Father's will for His ministry here on this earth. But He would continue at the Father's right hand with the eternal purpose of God by taking His place by the throne of God, by God's right hand. And the apostles braced for His departure based on this. By the words He had spoken to them, they were ready. You and I can be ready. We can brace ourselves for anything that may come into our lives. Because Jesus tells us we can be comforted. We can have peace. And He assured them in John 14 and verse 29, "Now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe." The apostles were braced. They were getting ready for His departure. Granted, they may not have known it was going to be a crucifixion, but they knew something was going to happen to where He was going to leave them. And Jesus reminded them of all the conflicts that they were going to face. That all these conflicts were going to reach their pinnacle, their apex. And part of that was by allowing Himself to be crucified. That's the peak, if you will, of the ministry of Christ. That's the pinnacle. And the reason I say it's the pinnacle, because the innocence of Christ is going to be turned into an altar by Him being crucified upon the cross. His blood is going to be shed like a lamb, an innocent lamb. And the cross has now turned into an altar where that blood is being shed. And He has become the sacrificial lamb for the sins of the world. He allowed Himself to be crucified. One of the greatest conflicts was coming to their lives, and they had to get ready for it. But then we see that Jesus, in His approach to these events, is going to convey not only to those men closest to Him, but to the world, to you and I, the love that He had for His Father. Think about it. Jesus submitted to the cross because He surrendered to His Father's will. He could have, you remember, He prayed in the garden, "Let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but Your will be done." He had received a commandment from his father, instructions. This has to happen so I can save the world through your death upon the cross. And the beauty of it is that Jesus was determined to obey his Father. What great confidence of faith that we can have. But you know, much of what Jesus said, was saying to these apostles, was unclear in their minds on that Thursday night as they sat around that table. But in the aftermath of the events that he had predicted, they were going to remember. They would begin to understand, and they would believe. Everything that Jesus had described was about to be fulfilled. He was going to be put to death. He even told Peter, "You're going to deny me, remember?" And it happened. It's always been difficult for us to look into the future. We always would like to know what's going to happen, but we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, do we? We don't even know what's going to happen this evening. But if we try to look into the future, it gets confusing. And it gets upsetting if we could really look into the future and know what's going to happen. I went to visit Sister Lula Holt this past week. And I just wanted to know, and I asked her, I said, "Well, what are the doctors telling you?" "Nothing. She's eat up with cancer. And the only thing that they're telling her is you've got a long, hard road ahead of you." You know why they're telling her that? She doesn't want any treatment for cancer. 80-something years old, and she's just wanting to ride it out. Do you think if she could look into that crystal ball and see what kind of suffering she might have, she might change her mind? Would you? If we could look into our future and know what our health is going to be like, would we change some of the things that we do? Would we pray more? Would we increase our faith more? If we knew how bad this world was going to get, truly it would be upsetting, wouldn't it? But especially as we look into that crystal ball, one thing that we can know for certain is that there will be dark days ahead. Storm clouds even that hover over our lives. Over our lives. Our days will be filled with darkness. Jesus told his 12, "Your days are going to be so dark in the hours to come that you're going to weep. You're going to lament." He says, "But the Comforter is coming. And your sorrow will be turned to joy." He said, "The world's going to rejoice that I'm going to be put to death. The world's going to rejoice that you're going to be having sorrow. But your sorrow is going to be turned to joy." Jesus told his apostles to look at the dark days coming. And I believe that applies to all of the disciples of Christ. He has told all of us that we have been supplied by the Holy Spirit. The peace that He brings, the faith that is created by the words that are delivered by the Holy Spirit. And He does the same thing for us today. For all of His disciples, He has provided the leadership of the Spirit, if we'll allow the Spirit to lead us. For all of His disciples, He has provided calmness through His Spirit, calmness of peace, and the confidence of faith. There's just one problem. We have to be willing to listen. We have to be willing to learn. We have to be willing to believe and receive His peace. You see, the Holy Spirit, it's not going to be effective if we're not willing to listen to the Word of God. These closest to Jesus, their sorrow would not be turned to joy if they didn't believe Jesus. If they didn't listen to what Jesus had to say. When they scattered before His trials, they could have never come back if they didn't listen, if they didn't believe, and if they didn't act upon it. But see, you can do the same thing today. You can receive the promise of the Comforter through the Word of God, the hope of heaven when this world is over, the hope of getting through your trials and tribulations in this life, if you believe what Jesus said. Jesus tells us that we have to be His disciple in order to receive all of these blessings. So if you're here this morning and you've never put Christ on in baptism, this is an opportunity for you to begin receiving the promises of the Spirit, of the Comforter, and to receive that hope of heaven when this world is no more. It may be that you've done that, but you've gone back into the world. Maybe it's these dark clouds that are hovering over your life that's causing depression or discouragement, and you've given up, and you've stopped serving the Lord. Jesus wants you too to believe, to hear, and to act upon His Word so that you can once again begin receiving the Holy Spirit, the Comforter that He has promised. What do you need this morning? Do you need to put Christ on in baptism? Well, we are ready and able to accommodate you. Do you need to come back to Christ? We're ready and willing to accommodate you. We'll pray with you and for you that God will forgive you of anything that is separating you from Him. It may be that you're here and you just have those dark days. You are discouraged and depressed. And you just want, you just want the prayers of the saints. We can do that as well. If you're here and you find yourself in need of responding, I pray that you'll make your way to the front while together we stand and sing.